Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, your host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues in Richmond and the nonprofits and innovative changemakers that are working to address them. Hopefully, you'll learn something new about the community and how you can make a difference with your deeds. In the wake of tragedies that we recently experienced, like the shooting in Newtown, or when there was the tragic shooting at Virginia Tech, our attention turns to what could be done to prevent something like this from ever happening again. There's definitely a lot of talk about changes to gun policy and gun control, but people are also asking if we can do something different about how we support people suffering from a mental illness. Several organizations in Virginia are focused on this work and serving folks with mental illness or mental health issues, such as NAMI Virginia, Mental Health America of Virginia, the Children's Mental Health Resource Center and Child Savers, the Daily Planet, and many others. Today, I have in the studio a representative from Vocal Virginia, which is a nonprofit made up of individuals in recovery from mental health issues. Bonnie Naber is the Vocal Network Program Director with Vocal Virginia, and she's here to share more. Thanks for joining us today, Bonnie.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Well, can you please start with sharing a little bit about why Vocal Virginia was started? What was the roots of how it got going?
Sure. Vocal represents a different voice than the other organizations that are out there. There's, you mentioned two of them, Mental Health America Virginia, which in my understanding somewhat looks at the whole public mental health perspective, and NAMI Virginia, which was started by some family members of someone who had, of two people actually, who had some mental health concerns. Vocal comes from a different perspective. We are 100% run. Our board and our staff are all people who have experienced some mental health conditions of our own. We provide programming in the community. We also have an advocacy voice that's purely the mental health consumer voice. I use the word mental health consumer, and I realize not everyone's familiar with that, what that means. Mm-hmm. Consumer often means someone who goes to the store and shops. In the mental health world, if you're lucky enough to not have intersected with the mental health world, you may not be aware that we use the word consumer right now to help identify someone who may be receiving some mental health services. And the word actually expands a little bit beyond that. And people who self-identify as someone who has a mental health condition. And we in the consumer world are actually moving away from that term a little bit, but that's the term used by the community in general, so I'm going to use it today. We're moving more towards the word peer because we've walked a similar journey. We have a similar background. Or even better, just the word person, or person with a mental health history, or person experiencing mental health symptoms, because taking that label off that separates from us from other people really helps. Taking the label away really helps us integrate into the community and be seen as people.
Mm-hmm. So being seen as a consumer, it's almost like you are setting yourself apart from the rest of the mental health system, but really you're as much a part of it as any other piece of the mental health system. So you're a peer, you said, or just an individual coming at this issue.
Sure. Even using the word consumer separates us from the rest of society, especially after something tragic happens and people want to point a finger at what may have been the cause. Mm-hmm. Using the word consumer automatically separates us. And so it's not just from the mental health community itself, but from society. We like to not be labeled.
But Vocal, what does Vocal stand for?
Well, it stands for Virginia Organization of Consumers Asserting Leadership. So the word is in our title.
Vocal. All right. So what is it that Vocal brings? You said you bring the direct experience of those that have dealt with mental health conditions, right?
Mm-hmm. We're one of somewhere between 20 and 30 state mental health consumer networks. Some of our funding comes through the state, through the mental health block grant through the state, and others of our funding comes through SAMHSA, the federal mental health substance abuse mental health service administration. So the federal agency for mental health policy, maybe.
So there is some public funding to support the work that you do mm-hmm. in ensuring that there is that voice at the table.
Right. And we also have a little bit of earned income, and we get some donations. So we try to diversify our funding as much as we can.
As any nonprofit needs to.
Exactly. But what we bring is, advocacy-wise, definitely we bring the consumer experience and the consumer voice. And we have a little catchphrase we like to use, nothing about us without us, which means please have us at the table being a valued voice when any policies or laws are being decided that impact people with mental health consumers, right. impact people with a mental health condition.
So you said, what is it? Nothing about us without us.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, share a little bit with the listeners what Vocal Virginia does and what your role as network director is about.
Sure. Vocal has four basic programs. I'll start with the network. I'm the network director. I came into Vocal a little over 5 years ago as the advocacy coordinator. And my role then was to coordinate our voice and try to educate other mental health consumers on how to advocate for systems change. We really do systems change advocacy, and also be one of the systems change advocates at the table. Now, as network director, my role is to reach out to the mental health peers or the mental health consumers across the state and help coordinate ways for them to get together and understand what's going on in the state. We have an e-digest that goes out of our office twice a week that tells about all sorts of things happening around the state, educational opportunities, scholarships, meetings of support groups, meetings of peer-run programs, and I can talk about peer-run programs in a minute, so I'll
okay.
put that on hold.
Okay.
We also have a newsletter that comes out 6 times a year. Not all of our peers or not all of Vocal members are internet capable. Either uh-huh. they don't have internet in their living situation, or they don't have a computer, so we try to make mm-hmm. sure we do hard copies and get
hard
them delivered to their house.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would people get signed up on those lists to get those resources?
If you have internet, one way is to email network at VocalVirginia, all spelled out, VocalVirginia.org. Or you can call our office in Richmond directly, which is 804-343-1777, and ask to be either get a membership form or be included as a member or get on our mailing list.
Okay, great. So the website's vocalvirginia.org.
That's correct.
Okay, and network at Vocal Virginia is where you can sign up for the listserv and the e-digest type of thing.
Yes.
Great.
Another thing the network does, and including connecting people together and letting them know what's going on around the state, is we have an annual recovery conference. Our conference will be in May this year on the JMU campus in Harrisonburg. We've used that site several times. It's a great site. We have, in the past, 200 to 300 mental health consumers across the state attend a 3-day conference, and all the workshops are led by peers or people who have walked through that journey themselves and can touch on all sorts of different topics: mental health recovery, small business management, RAP, which stands for Wellness Recovery Action Plan, and I'm going to talk about RAP in a few minutes also.
Different topics that may be of interest to folks.
Exactly. Just on wellness in general, on mm-hmm. whole wellness, not just mental health wellness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think it's an integral part of wellness. We, as a society, we separate it so much from the rest of the body, but really it's all the same person, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another one of our programs, the network does that networking people together and running the conference. Another one of our programs is REACH, which is an acronym, R-E-A-C-H, stands for Recovery, Education, and Creative Healing. In our REACH program, trains and certifies RAP facilitators. So here I am back to RAP, W-R-A-P.
Why don't you tell us a little bit what RAP is then?
RAP is a program that was started by someone who identifies as a mental health consumer herself, who got the same diagnosis I did and many other people did, or the same prognosis with their diagnosis. And the prognosis was, you're never going to get better. You now have this mental health condition, and your symptoms are just going to be harder to manage, and you're going to get sicker and sicker. And the individual, Mary Ellen Copeland, who started RAP, found herself in the hospital with that message, and she did get better, and she was released, and upon her release, she started asking some questions, and it turns out there was no research or no understanding of what that recovery looked like. And so she did a little research and created the program RAP, Wellness Recovery Action Plan, that helps individuals look at themselves and what they look like when they're well and what they look like when they're not well and what some of those external triggers are that make them not well and some of the internal signs people might call symptoms that indicate they're not doing well and what are some action plans you can take when you're not well. So it's a really a self-directed, self-aware mental wellness plan that people can put together.
Yeah, and so that's something that is that you provide training on through the network then?
RAP is a... It's a national program that RAP facilitators themselves must be trained and certified to keep some quality control and so reach the recovery education and creative healing plan or program of VOCAL trains and certifies RAP facilitators.
Okay, so you can be sure that, that the information that's shared is going to be what people really need to stay well. Now, you know, when you talk about recovery, for some listeners, it may be a little bit different way to think about mental health issues because, like you said, you had a prognosis and the researcher had a prognosis that mental health issues is just, you know, sorry, but that's your lot in life and best wishes. But now there really is, it's not just a movement. It's an, isn't it an accepted practice? Isn't it an accepted best practice in health that there is recovery in mental illness?
Sure, people have been recovering from mental health conditions for thousands of years, but it really didn't start getting recognized until, about 40 years ago, when people like Mary Ellen Copeland, who started RAP, and some other people started getting together. They said they got better, and they started meeting together, and one of the first official places where they met was in New York called Freedom House, and they talked about what worked for them. It didn't take consumers or those of us that are walking that journey a long time to jump on that bandwagon and say, oh, I can get my life back. I can live in the community I want. I can have a relationship or a family if I want to. I can have a home of some sort of my own. I can have a job or a volunteer job. It didn't take us a long time, but it took the states a long time to buy into it. Virginia has now... also is talking about mental health recovery and its public mental health system is recovery focused or is coming along the route of being recovery focused.
Okay, I see. So it is still, it's been around for over 40 years, but it's still relatively new and especially new in the policy arena, it sounds like.
Exactly. And it's scary, the idea of mental health recovery and allowing mental health consumers to have some choices in their care and have some self-directed care and be in the community versus in an institution is scary for some people, especially maybe family members who hate to see, who it breaks their heart to watch their loved one go through some difficult times. It's scary to...
You mean because those loved ones, they want to be sure that their loved ones are in a safe, protected environment. They may be scared to let that loved one have the independence that they could achieve.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. Or just, it's hard, it's so hard to watch somebody you love suffer or what looks like suffering to you. So it's hard for some people to believe in the recovery movement, and it's hard for those of us that are a part of it to see anything else as ideal.
Right, that makes sense. So what are some of the other services that VOCAL Virginia provides? Actually, before we go on, if you're just joining us, this is Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today I'm speaking with Bonnie Naber, who is the VOCAL Network Program Director with VOCAL Virginia. You can learn more about VOCAL Virginia on their website, which is, what is it, Bonnie?
It's VOCALVirginia.org.
Great.
It's all spelled out.
Great. Now you were just telling us about some of the programs and services that VOCAL provides. What else do you provide?
Sure. I talked about two of them. I talked about the network and I talked about REACH, Recovery, Education, and Creative Hearing Healing. Mm-hmm. We have two other programs, our VOCAL Co-op and our Firewalkers program. Our Co-op stands for Consumer-Owned and Operated Programs, and it's our technical assistance branch. We provide technical assistance to other consumer-owned and operated programs. VOCAL, as I said before, is 100% mental health consumer owned and operated. Our board and our staff are all consumers. There are programs across the state who provide more direct services than we do, scattered across the state. And they are also 100% or maybe 90%. Some of them have some different qualifications on that. But they're also considered consumer owned and operated, and they often need technical assistance. We come at business management from the perspective of we have a passion for sharing the recovery story with people. We don't necessarily come at business management from going through school and how to manage a business.
Sure.
So the co-op provides technical assistance in board development and policy development and staffing and just any area any of the consumer owned and operated programs may need help with.
That's great, because when you, like you said, you bring the passion to the issue and you just want to make a difference, but sometimes those details can be forgotten.
We like to be able to focus on what our passion is and not have to struggle to keep up with the other pieces. So the technical assistance can help some of our other consumer-owned and operated programs in the state.
Great. Well, what's Firewalkers?
Firewalkers is a fairly new program for us. We, several years ago, received a small grant that was intended for stigma busting. Those of us in the mental health world deal with stigma all the time, and it can be more disabling than almost anything else. When people hear, for instance, that I'm a mental health consumer, and I am, they often immediately think they know who I am, and they watch some of my favorite shows on TV, which are very stigmatizing against mental health often. They're exciting and fun, but it's always the bad guy ends up having a mental health diagnosis. So we received a grant for stigma busting, how to turn around the image of what it is to be a mental health consumer. And we decided to use that grant to write a book. So we put a call out to Virginians and asked for them to tell their stories about having walked through the fire of mental illness and come out on the other side stronger and more refined. And our first book was published a couple years ago. It's called The Firewalkers Book. We just published our second book last month. It's called Fire Stories. Those books are both available on our website or through Amazon or in person if you stop in our office or if you meet me on the street. And they tell the stories. The first book, Firewalkers, tells the stories of Virginians who have come through walking the fire of mental illness. The second book was a national call for people's stories. So Firewalkers hopes to bring the message of hope to people who are out there who maybe have just gotten a diagnosis, or their family members are struggling with having just heard their family member has a diagnosis, and the fear that that person's life is going to be forever changed for the worse. And Firewalkers really hopes to tell the story that for many of us, as difficult as that walking through fire might be, my life, for instance, has been changed for the better because of the journey I've been on. We hope to be able to spread that hope to other people.
Do you mind sharing a little bit about your journey? You've mentioned it a couple times, the fact that you've been through this yourself, and you bring that passion to your work at Vocal Virginia. Can you share a little bit about your journey through the fire?
Sure. As a young adult and just newly away from home with my family and out on my own, I started recognizing that I wasn't really happy. I wasn't really happy, and I was struggling with some things. And I went to my primary care doctor who told me the reason I wasn't happy is because I'd be much happier if I would just lose some weight. And that was in the 70s, and the primary care doctor gave me a pill for weight loss, which is, in the 70s, that was an amphetamine. And an amphetamine speeds everything up. And I found that for 3 years, I was very happy. I was very productive. I held down several jobs at one time, and I was going to school at the same time and able to do well in school. And I had friends, and I played in a band, and we practiced, and it was go, go, go. When that pill went away, my mood and my ability to participate in the community crashed. And that started a cycle for me. So I went for help to somebody else at that time and said, gosh, I can't even get out of the house. I'm feeling suicidal. I can't work anymore. And that person told me that, oh, no, no, honey. He was very demeaning and patted me on the leg and said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You just need a more stimulating job and a more stimulating hometown. And so for the next 15 years, I had 30 jobs.
30? Wow.
And lived in 15 different places.
Wow. So you were really taking their advice to heart.
I was desperate, and this is what the professional told me.
Finding, like you said, finding something new and, right. and not able to settle anywhere.
Exactly. And I had started a cycle with that pill. It started me a cycle that at some points I could work 2 and 3 jobs at one time, and at other times I couldn't work at all. So it averaged out to 30 jobs in 15 years, but there were periods where I wasn't able to leave the house. Mm-hmm. Set up barricades on my door so nobody could come in or see through the door or see through the window. Finally realized there was some consistency during those 30 jobs in 15 years as I had a volunteer position that I kept the whole time, and it was in youth ministry. And so I thought maybe that's what makes me happy. And I did a little research and found a seminary in Richmond that helps educate people in youth ministry. So I thought, well, let me be the best I can be at what keeps me happy. So I moved to Richmond and had another wonderful 18 months, and then had another crash where I couldn't leave the house anymore. And I finally received my first diagnosis, which that single diagnosis lasted about 3 weeks, and I got my second diagnosis. And before it was done, I have 7 diagnoses. And looking at the cluster of symptoms that are used to help diagnose people, I fit 6 of those 7 diagnoses. And I think it's important to share that information, that I don't share my diagnoses with people mm-hmm. necessarily because I think it helps perpetuate that labeling people thing. But I think it's important for people to know that people with some pretty serious mental health diagnoses can be out there working and interacting in the community and making a difference. And the diagnoses themselves and the symptoms don't mm-hmm. have to shut someone down. Along with my second diagnosis, I received the prognosis that I'd never get better. And, oh, Bonnie, you're not doing very well now, so you should probably talk to somebody about taking over your affairs and find some place where you can be taken care of, a home that someone will take care of. You need to start looking at that now, is the prognosis I received.
Oh, how discouraging that would be to hear. So how long ago was that?
It was in 1995.
95 here in Richmond. But you've been with, now, obviously, that hasn't been the case for you, because you said you've been working with Folk of Virginia for, what, over 7 years?
Over 5 years.
Over 5 years, yeah.
Or maybe 6. I kind of lose track. Well, I received that diagnosis, and I went home, and I'm a Google girl. I look everything up. And I looked up on the internet, and there, the literature out there said the same thing. And so I believed that I would get sicker, and I did get sicker, to the point that I was having trouble maintaining a roof over my head and not able to leave the house. I've got some horror stories that I won't share during that time. But I went to a support group, and somebody was at that support group, and they used the words mental health recovery. And I went home that night, and I was very angry, because how dare someone hold out that hope, because the literature says it's not so, and my doctor says it's not so. And I went back the next week, and he was there again, and he talked a little bit about his journey and how he had a job and he had a home and he had a relationship, and I wanted what he had. So I became friends with him and learned more about the mental health recovery world in Richmond, and then bigger, the mental health recovery in Virginia and just in general, and found that with that message of recovery, I began to recover. And it was as simple as telling someone it was possible.
Wow. And that's what Folk of Virginia is doing, is letting folks know that it is possible, that recovery is real. And there are some steps that you need to take to get there, but Folk of Virginia, it sounds like, is there to help provide those steps, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, why don't you share a little bit about how people can get involved with Folk of Virginia? You mentioned getting onto the East e-bulletin and newsletter list. What else can people do to be involved?
Well, we have our different programs are based in different areas around the state. Our executive director mm-hmm. and our executive office is based in Charlottesville. And the Richmond office has the network in it, and we have some things in Northern Virginia. Ways people can get involved is look at some of those things that are in the e-digest, or look at some of the things that are in the newsletter, and sign up for some of those. Definitely, if you're a mental health consumer, see if you can come to our conference in May. It's a great way to hear and see and live that mental health recovery story that others have.
And meet some peers that are going through it as well.
Definitely meet some peers.
Yeah. And so all that information is on your website, I take it?
It is.
Great. And what's that website again?
VocalVirginia.org.
VocalVirginia spelled out .org. Well, Bonnie, thank you so much for joining me today to share the work of Vocal Virginia. But I also really want to express appreciation for sharing your own story, because I think it's definitely inspiring to hear how you can be told that there is no hope, but then find a way to make a full recovery and then go back out to and contribute to the community by helping others do the same. So thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before I sign off, I just want to say thanks to the other volunteers down here, down at Volunteer Power WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. If you'd like to learn about how you can visit here and contribute your time, talent, and treasure to RIR, just visit wrir.org to learn more. My name's Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofits and folks who are working to make a difference. I hope you learned something new on the show today and are ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds.